Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Wade Henderson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Jessica. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's call. I'm Wade Henderson, and I'm President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund and the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. The Leadership Conference is the nation's premier civil and human rights coalition, with more than 200 national organizations working to build an America that's as good as its ideals. The Education Fund is the education and research arm of the coalition and builds public and political will for civil rights laws and policies. Now, we are here today to release the results of our second annual New Education Majority Poll. I'm joined on today's call by our pollster, Matt Hogan, a partner with the Anzalone List Grove Research Company, who will briefly highlight the key findings of the poll, and by my Leadership Conference colleague, Liz King, Director of Education Policy, who will discuss our recommendations based on the findings. Now, we commissioned this annual poll because we wanted to know how Black and Latino parents and families view the American education system's success in educating their children. It is our intention that these findings jumpstart a conversation about education policy that is inclusive of the perspectives of communities of color. We think the findings can help policymakers, advocates, activists, and education practitioners better understand what parents and families of color want for their children and from their children's schools. Policymakers have that opportunity right now. States are currently developing plans for how they are going to make sure that their schools are doing their jobs well and educating all students as part of their obligation under the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA. The U.S. Department of Education must review the plans to determine whether they meet the legal requirements and the spirit of ESSA. Now, these plans are an opportunity for states to make a clear declaration about their belief in the education of all children and their commitment to ensuring children get the education they deserve. From what we've seen so far, states are not being sufficiently responsive to the needs and desires of parents, families, and communities of color. States are still developing plans and policies that fail to address the institutional inequalities that prevent our nation's schools from serving all children adequately. Now, as you'll hear in a moment, Black and Latino parents know that their children aren't getting the best education we can provide to them. These results should be a clarion call for policymakers who must come to terms with the fact that for any education policy to be successful, it must be responsive to the needs of all children, especially those who now make up a majority of public school students in America. I'll now turn the call over to Matt Hogan to go through the data. Matt?
Thank you, Wade. Our poll was a national survey of 1,200 Black and Latino parents and family members conducted by telephone with an even mix of landline and cell phone dialing to reflect the high share of cell phone-only households in these communities. All interviews with Latinos were conducted with bilingual dialers, with 30% of all Latino respondents taking a survey in Spanish, and the margin of error for both audiences was 4%. So just getting into the key findings, our second annual poll of New Education Majority families found that perceptions of racial disparities in education remain strong among Black and Latino parents and families, and in some cases are even more pronounced than last year. Among both communities, there is an overwhelming sense of racial inequity in school funding, with 90% of African Americans and 57% of Latinos rejecting the notion that schools in their communities receive the same amount of funding as schools in white communities. For African Americans, the already strong sense of racial inequity in both funding and school quality has increased since last year by 7 points on funding and by 8 points on the quality of education, with 74% of these parents and family members now saying that the quality of education that black students receive is worse than the education white students receive. The funding disparity evident to new education majority families is especially important because they cite a lack of funding for students of color as the biggest cause of racial disparities in education in an open-ended question. And while a lack of funding is seen as the biggest cause, over the past year, racism has risen to become seen as the second biggest cause among both black and Latino parents and families, with the share of each community citing racism as a main cause of inequity in education rising by about 9 points. We also found perceptions of inequity based on the race of teachers. New education majority families whose child's teachers are mostly white are more likely to believe schools are not really trying to educate students of color than those with mostly black or mostly Latino teachers. Among black parents and family members whose child's teachers are mostly white, only 42% believe that schools are trying their best to educate black students, 16 points below the share of those whose children have mostly black teachers. We see this trend holding among Latinos, with those with mostly white teachers 8 points less likely to say schools are trying their best than to educate students of color than those with mostly Latino teachers. In addition to the findings on racial inequity in education, the poll also explored the priorities for these families for their child's education. It found that black and Latino parents and families continue to place a premium on high expectations and academic rigor for their children. Above all else, these parents and family members prioritize high-quality and well-equipped teachers, the fair treatment of students, and the opportunity for students to take challenging classes above all else. When they are asked specifically about priorities for school funding, strong academics and resources again top the list. For both communities, access to books and computers, the opportunity to take challenging classes, and the retention of quality teachers are top priorities. With extracurricular activities, vocational classes, and after-school programs seen as less vital uses of additional funding. We also see a strong desire for more challenge for students of color in the classroom. Both black and Latino parents and families overwhelmingly believe that students today should be challenged more in school than they currently are. Nearly 9 in 10 black parents and family members believe that students should be challenged more in school, rather than that they currently work hard enough and don't need to be challenged. Similarly, 81% of Latino parents and families believe students should be challenged more. So those are, I think, the key findings from the poll, and I believe now I'll turn it over to Liz King.
Thanks, Matt. So I'm now going to talk about some of the recommendations from the poll. But before I start talking about the recommendations, I did want to flag one additional difference between this research and other polling that's out there. We specifically did not want to poll black and Latino parents about how they felt about specific policies that are currently being debated. Based on our recognition that these debates themselves are not framed or presented through the lens of black and Latino community priorities, we wanted to get to the root of the beliefs and priorities that these parents have. That said, we do see some pretty concrete policy recommendations flowing from the results of this poll. You'll see the full list in the summary document, but I did want to flag a couple here. Given the context of ESSA implementation, ESSA implementation, as Wade mentioned at the start of this call, the federal government, states, school districts, and schools have a great opportunity in this moment of change to put in place policies that are responsive to the needs and values of the new majority of public school children. The first policy recommendation we see flowing from the results of this poll is the need to remedy disparities in resources between schools serving children of color and those serving white children. This disparity was identified by poll respondents as a significant problem, and has been well documented in court cases, academic research, and by many of you as reporters over the years. Access to excellent teachers and rigorous courses is especially critical. Next, policymakers must create more and better opportunities for Black and Latino parents to be heard in decision-making about schools. We have seen some states make significant efforts in ESSA implementation to engage educators and communities. We need to make sure that Black and Latino parents are at those tables and in those meetings. Finally, we need to ensure that every single school is organized around excellence for every single child. Parents in this poll spoke to the value of a state's rating of the school's success in educating children well, a central piece of ESSA's accountability requirements, as well as the need to ensure educators have the support and preparation they need to support every child's success and overcome historic barriers to opportunity. Most of all, however, we encourage everyone throughout the entire education system to take a look at these results and ask more questions. Our nation's future depends on how well we educate all children. Black and Latino parents have a lot to say about what this looks like, and we think it's time for the national and local debates to reflect those views. Again, I encourage you to reference the full summary document, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I'll now turn it back over to Wade. Thanks.
Liz, thank you so much, and Matt, thank you as well. Operator, I think we are ready now to take questions from those on the line. And for those asking questions, if you would identify yourself and your news organization, we'd appreciate it. Why don't we begin?
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we will pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And once again, that was the star and one. And at this time, it appears we have no questions.
Well, operator, thank you for that. And ladies and gentlemen who have joined the call, we appreciate your being with us. Hopefully the information you have heard this afternoon, along with the actual poll itself, is self-explanatory. And certainly if you have other questions, we're happy to speak with you one-on-one, and we would welcome the opportunity to deal with more. So with that in mind, I think, operator, we're bringing this call to a close. Any final remarks, either Liz, from you or from Matt Hogan, before we adjourn the call? Okay. Having said that, why don't we end this? And thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Operator, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. This does conclude today's program. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at any time.